First of all, let me just say thank you again. I want to thank you so much. This church means so much to us. Your encouragement, the way you have been generous, not just around special contribution, but all throughout the year. And you have gone beyond what we expected, and we are just grateful. And we're so thankful to share this partnership with you. And we're just appreciative of the fact that we can be brothers and sisters and strive to do God's will. So I wanted to share with you the fruit of your labor. So I was invited to preach here in January, and I think we had a little snowstorm, but you know what it's like in Atlanta. You never know what it's going to be. So we rearranged everything, and we're here today, and going to do something a little bit differently than what I normally do. So hopefully you will be inspired by our time today. I did tell everyone we're on a time limit because I don't want to keep anyone beyond lunchtime. So I hope you will be encouraged today. Let's go to God in prayer. Father and God, we come before you right now, and we want to thank you so much for this opportunity, dear God, as we look in the scriptures, Heavenly Father, and as we wrestle with the plan you have for each and every one of our lives. Thank you so much for our brothers and sisters, God. Thank you so much for the many lives that have been transformed, God. Thank you for the many decades of service and perseverance, Heavenly Father. Yes. And I pray, dear God, that as we read these scriptures together, all of our hearts will be inspired. Be with us, God, and we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I titled this message, On the Road Again. Oh, y'all know that song? I knew no few would know this song. Good old Kenny Rogers song. Is that Kenny? Willie Nelson. Oh, yeah. On the road to Emmaus. So last week we celebrated Easter. I heard you all had a great time celebrating Easter. Was it encouraging? Yes. Yeah, had a great time. We had a great time down at the Path. We ended up having two worship services. So it was a lot of fun, you know. Thank you again for your support in our new building, our first Easter. And we just said, let's people spread out. And God really blessed it. I think we had close to 400 people. You know, yeah, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. service, and it was incredible. And we'll share some more about that. Luke chapter 24, 13 through 35. Luke 24, 13 through 35. Now, the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. You know, Jesus has a sense of humor. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning. They didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." There is so much going on in this passage. And you know, normally I would have different illustrations and PowerPoints, but I have friends with me, and we're going to have conversation. And one of the things we're going to talk about is, how do you deal with disappointment? How do we deal with disappointment? These two disciples were leaving the other disciples. They were leaving Jerusalem. They were going in the opposite direction. And as Jesus talked to them on the road, and you know what is really deep about this? It says they were downcast, they were sad. Jesus come along, and, you know, he really could have rebuked them. You know, like some of us have had those D times. We already feeling bad, but let me help you feel a little bit worse. He really could have went in on them. What's wrong with you? Where is your faith? But you know, Jesus strolls along with them and what things? What are you talking about? And you know, I think sometimes in life we just need a little conversation to help us to reorient our thoughts. So what we're going to talk about are these last couple of years. These last couple of years. How have we been doing? How have we been doing? Right here, and some scholars believe it may have been a couple, but could be two disciples, who knows. But right here, they were wrestling with disappointment. They had expectations of God's kingdom, really kicking out the Romans and the Jews going back into the era of King David and having this amazing kingdom, and none of it came through. I don't know about you, but these last couple of years, I have been wrestling with disappointment. There's been so much disappointment. I've really limited looking at the news. It's like, I can't take anymore. I mean, Lord, can you come back today? I mean, this is, it's like bad news, disappointment. Been wrestling through my own life with, you know, teaching at Morehouse and helping these young men navigate all these racial issues and then our own personal lives, going through a financial issue, legal issue. And it just seemed like I don't know if you ever had to deal with a legal issue and it's like it would never end and it's ongoing. And it's like, can God, I know you love me, but we need to have a little talk. I've been doing this since I was 21 years old. Who can relate to that? I've been doing this since I was a kid. Wow, I thought at some point we would just glide on into heaven. So I introduce yourselves and let's talk about wrestling through disappointment. Well, have you had any disappointment?
Yes, well.
Well, go ahead.
Years.
At least he asked.
Ask that question, brother.
Yeah. Paul, ooh, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean,
yeah, I'm a retired police officer, and probably the next couple of months I'll be a retired carpenter. And we have three kids. Two of them are here with us.
Now, this brother has retired twice.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little struggle I'm wrestling with in my heart, but I'll confess that. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
Yes, we have three kids. Two of them are here now. We also have a dog, Bruno. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Huh?
So I'm Michelle Vendries. I am Paul's wife. I am an assistant principal in a very large school system. So any educators, you understand what that means right now. We relocated here from New York about 15 years ago, mm-hmm. and we have been disciples for that long.
Yeah, 15.
So, amen. Yep, we live in Gwinnett, and we love it.
Amen. Disappointments you want to talk about, right? Everybody's been going through a lot these last 2 years, and we had a couple in the ministry who we thought we were close to, and all of a sudden, no contact. Tried to call him, text him, no reply. And so I was trying to figure out, you know, what's going on with them. And it's funny, you might have relationships and you think they're great. And the other couple, you know, they might not think that. I thought we were good.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just wrestling through it and speaking to other brothers, you know, there comes a time where you try, and then you just have to pray. You know, you might be disappointed. But I realize now that, you know, moving forward, there's got to be those what conversation, what's going on with you? You know, what's happening in your life? The why. Why do you think that happened? You know, why are you feeling this way? And I think we have to go deeper in our relationships now, because so many people, you know, we don't know what's going on in that person's life. You know, so we have to really go deep, especially in the ministry and this point in time where we want to move forward. We still want to save lives.
That's
right. That is what we're doing. Right. Matthew 28, 18 and 19, right? So I pray for the couple, and I hope that God will allow them to pass, I mean, will allow them to hopefully come out and just really talk about what happened.
Well, let me ask you, thank you, Paul. Let me ask a question. Any of us ever wrestle with that disappointment, investing in relationships, assuming you were at a place in your relationship and you really weren't there? No? Okay, I just want to make sure we're in the right church. Okay, so, yeah, and that hurts. That hurts, especially when you have given your heart. Thank you, Paul, for sharing it.
So for me, the last 3 years have been tough, work-wise. I pride myself on, you know, giving my all to my job, believing in instruction first. What do we need to do to help to support our students? What do I need to do to help support my teachers? But, you know, year one of COVID, I thought, all right, not so bad. We can manage. Going into year two and three, I'm thinking, I can't sustain this anymore. The demands just got greater, the expectations so much more. Yet students are coming into the building with some real needs. Are my teachers coming into the building with real needs? And higher-ups are behaving like status quo. You know, we still have to make those numbers. We still need to close those gaps. And the work-family life balance was not happening at all. And literally, I mean, days of actually crying out to God, journaling about it. How much longer can I sustain this level of, you know, we like to talk about engagement, be engaged. It is impossible to be engaged every day at 100%. That's burnout. So, you know, just thinking through, like, God, you have me here. How can I do this? One of the things that helped me with, you know, combating that disappointment and not just wanting to walk out the door is, you know, trying to find the joy, remembering my purpose, remembering that, you know what, despite what is going on here, I have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. I understand what my mission is, that I have to somehow touch the life of a teacher, somehow touch the life of a child. But in order for me to do that, it was, you know, it meant staying in my word. It meant strategically calling sister girlfriends on the way in to work to be filled up. I mean, there would be many Fridays I drive into the parking lot with puffy eyes because I've had a tearful conversation and a prayerful conversation with a sister for my entire 35-minute ride. Just, you know, help me out. So they're helping me to craft conversations with people that I need to have, pouring scripture into me, reminding me, okay, we're all in this. It's not just you feeling this way. So really, you know, God's word and the people in my life helping me. And this is ongoing. I have not arrived. It is still a struggle. It is for real still a struggle every day. But that's how I'm managing.
Amen. Do we have any educators in the room? Can we give our educators a round of applause? Number one, it's already difficult being an educator, but in this environment, it has been tough. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's the adults that have been more challenging than the children.
Yeah.
So you got to try to help the children. You got to deal with the adults. You got to deal with the politics. And I do want to say thank you so much for your hard work to all our educators. Thank you so much for your sacrifice.
Okay, so... Roland Alexander,
I'm going to try to keep this brief. I'm known as the long talker, and that Mike was probably talking about, but here we are. So I'll give you a little background about myself. I guess spent the last 30 years, my life as an insurance agent. I'm married. My wife couldn't make it here today. She's studying to get her life insurance license. She's got many licenses, probably a couple more than I do, but so she's studying, so she couldn't be here. She's in class. Over the last few years of my life, God has done some amazing things. I'm also a board president at The Path, serve as one of the elders as well, and just how God has done some amazing things out of a situation where I would have never thought, but here we are. So what I want to talk about is how, when Mike asked the question about disappointments or distractions over the last 2 years, you know, the first thing that came up was just how I've lost family, I've lost friends. I get on social media and you're bombarded with someone who's lost a family member. It's like it's all around me. And so during that process, just processing through that, I could get overwhelmed, and I did many times. Even currently now, I have a family member that's very dear to me, that's very, very ill. But what I had to do to process, and I think you may be able to relate, but I had to go back and look at really what my salvation is. What do I get from my salvation, this gift that God has given to me? And the only thing that I can do to really come up with an answer for that is to really go back to the scriptures. I saw three amazing relationships. I saw Mary, I saw Martha, and I saw Lazarus. And I also saw the thief on the cross. Now, to put that in perspective, is that you have four people here that are impacted about a life or death situation. And as I live out my humanity and think about life and death, it's very real. It happens to every one of us in this room today. And so I had to look at it from a perspective that, okay, how does God see it? And I looked at the relationship that Jesus had with the three siblings there. He loved them. We know that. Oftentimes when someone is sick or die, we ask, you know, how or what? How could this happen? And we ask that question. And we, you know, even today we will ask that question when we get a phone call. It's like, what? How? When? Those are all questions. And I think that Mary and Martha, you know, when Jesus met with Martha, he gave us some amazing information about her salvation, about her faith, that if she believes in him, she will never die ever. Martha, Mary struggled just the same, and he had to tell her the same thing. So this tells me something about our faith, that we got to dig in deeper to understand what is it that God has given us in terms of our grace and our salvation. It is the catalyst that will drive us and enable us to get through anything.
Amen. Amen.
And so I looked at the thief on the cross. Now, we often say, yeah, that's a situation where it was just meant for him. That situation is not for everyone. Whether it is or isn't, doesn't matter. But the point is that he put faith in Jesus. Yep. And Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. We have to get through. And over the last 2 years, gotten through and still may have things coming forth that directly impact humanity. What we know humanity is and how we interact with one another. We have a country now, half is afraid, half wear masks, half don't wear masks. Doesn't matter. Because for us who trust in God, that's all that matters.
Amen.
That we shall never die. Now, you got to study that out, just as I did.
Amen.
I'm not in a place where I will let fear drive me. And the last thing I want to share is in Romans 8:38-39. And this is it. This is how you get to this point. It says, "For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angel, rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any other created things will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Amen.
How does one say that? The only way you can say that is you got to understand the salvation that you have.
Amen.
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 Any of us lose people? Family members? Friends? Yeah, grief is real. It's difficult. It's hard. And thank you so much for sharing that, Roland, because it's all about perspective. For those of us who have a relationship with God, we can go through it with God.
Amen.
With Jesus. And for what about those who don't have that? How do they make it through life without having that spiritual power? And that's what our heart should have, compassion for those who don't have that relationship with God yet.
Yeah. Okay, so just the last 2 years? well, for me, like many of you, emotionally, Ukraine, COVID, loss, you know, disciples losing their jobs. It's been a number of things, but on top of that, personally, you know, all of a sudden having somebody try to take your house away from you in the midst of this and, you know, try to do that and then go through family struggles with your own family members. I can't go into details, but you know what it's like when you have children that are not doing well. Or somebody in your family is just not doing well spiritually and getting into a lot of trouble, and it's very serious. And I think just the disappointment in that can take us out, actually. Because how many of you are mama bears? You got any mama bears out there? When your kid goes through something, all you want to do is save your kid. Like, you're like, I don't care who else. You could drop an open person in front of me, and I'm focused on this kid, right? So I think for me to watch God, and we'll be able to share that story at a later time, to watch God, to let go of that and trust God with it and watch God work has been a miracle in and of itself. But I think about remembering what I signed up for, which is what I have to do consistently, is just go back to what did you sign up for 30-something years ago? I signed up to follow Jesus. We sing that song over and over again, right? I have to sing that to my heart over and over again. No matter what, no matter who comes, no matter who stays, even in my own family.
That's right.
Right? I signed up to follow Jesus, to remember my calling, and then to remember that somebody's always trying to cut in on me. And I think of Galatians 5, right? You're running a good race. Who is cutting in on you? And once I realize, okay, this is a spiritual battle. These are real things that are happening, but it's all spiritual. And who's cutting in on me? And then I put my foot down, and then I have to remember my calling again. And no matter what, I'm still called.
That's right.
To what the Bible says is, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I would consistently have to go back to the beginning, which is why I signed up, who I signed up to follow, and why I'm living this life. It's this one command, to continue to love my neighbor. And once I've had to do that, re-engage my heart, because I don't know about y'all, but when your heart gets stepped on and you're going through all this stuff and the world's going through all this stuff, you want to pull your heart back.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, it's like that. I'm never engaging that way again. I'm never investing that way. I'll go to church. I will never not go to church. But invest again for you to walk out the door? These last couple of months, our whole music ministry left. Except my husband. Right? We're like, what in the world are these young people doing? But right now, that's what happened. But what did God do? He rose up some new people that Amen. He wanted to be there.
Amen.
But you can so easily feel like that was a lot of work. And if you're not investing, I'm not investing. But I still have to be like Jesus. And I'm still responsible to use my freedom, but not to indulge myself. And so for my decision to, I just remember making that even a couple of months ago, like, okay, God, I've decided to follow you. And once again, I'm going to love my neighbor as my, I'm going to love these people around me. And as I do that, God plops Rocky. Sorry.
Okay. All right. We'll get to Rocky.
Okay, we'll get to Rocky.
But thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Okay.
You know, married couples, hopefully, we don't have a bad day all the time at the same time. Can one of us try to be like Jesus?
Yeah,
I mean, if both of us are just tanking all the time, and let me tell you, and no offense to young adults, God gave us children, and the Bible says they are a gift.
They are a gift.
Yes.
And I believe we have to keep growing.
Yes.
As parents, it's our opportunity to become more like God. Amen. Enough said about that. You know, it's so deep because everybody shared. And thank you so much for what you shared. You know, thank you so much for what you shared. You know, just like in the Bible, as Jesus started ministering to them, the people already knew. That those two disciples, they already knew he was a prophet. They knew that. They knew he was mighty in deed and word. They knew he was crucified. They knew he had promised to redeem Israel. They knew others had said he rose from the dead. So they knew a lot of information. You know, sometimes we can be in a church for years and we know a lot of information up here, but our hearts have a hard time embracing it. How are we doing in our hearts? Not with our knowledge, but in our hearts. And as everyone shared, and thank you so much for sharing, I was just taking mental notes because Michelle talked about she had to pray and talk to other sisters and get in her Bible. You know, Roland has been doing extensive studies on heaven. And my man Roland will get me on the phone and we will start in the Garden of Eden. And go through and end up in Revelation talking about the tree.
Same tree.
But I appreciate the way he has dug into the scriptures. And I appreciate so much. Paul, you know, not only has he served in the church, but he has helped so many men study the Bible. After he retired from as a detective, moved to New York, did carpentry work, and made himself available to study the Bible with men.
Yeah.
Just made himself available. Driving from Beaufort, wherever. And Paul and Michelle have been with us 15 years, and they keep moving further and further up. But they never, ever complain about where we are, what we're doing, who we need to meet with. And it's such an inspiration to see disciples who are just loving God and loving one another. And I'm so grateful that God blessed me with the wife that he blessed me with, who deeply loves God, who loves him, who loves the mission, who loves people. As we wrap it up here, it says in verse 28, as they approached the village which they were going, Jesus continued, on if, as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? What made the difference?
Wow.
The word of God.
Right.
No matter how long we have been in the church, the word can never get old in our lives.
Right.
It said, then they got up and they returned to Jerusalem. They did an about face. We're going back to the church. We're going back to our brothers and sisters. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.
Amen.
Now, the disciples already told them that.
Yep.
But an encounter with the word.
That's right.
The embodied word.
Yep.
And Sean, why don't you finish your story?
Yeah. So, okay. So we're like getting back. We're going back to Jerusalem. We're going back to... I'm going to come to church with zeal. I'm going to come looking for some. I'm going to bring somebody. I'm sharing my faith again. I'm back in this battle. You know how you can get out of shape with all of that, right? Am I the only person just out of shape with that? I'm going to be giving in the fellowship. I don't care if it's two rows of people. I'm singing with all my heart. I'm giving my heart. Jesus, send me somebody to give. Send me a new person to give my heart to because I hadn't been in Bible study in a little while because of COVID, right? But help me. And first Sunday in the building, Mike preaches the word. It was awesome, honey. And Rocky is sitting in the audience, and Rocky is watching everybody. She's looking at the fellowship and the love and the connection and the few people that are there with their mask on, singing through their masks. And she's listening to the message. And right after church, she's like, I want this. I want this,
wow.
And I want this now, and I want to find a mature, older person to help me study the Bible so I can have this, and we were like, you know how that is, it's like, really? Wow, right now? Today? Can we start right now? And she was like, absolutely, we can start right now, and it reminded me, like, this is why I'm here. This is what all it's about. There's still people out there. I gotta get over. I gotta get through this. I gotta keep. Grabbed a bunch of sisters, and we started with Rocky. And this past Easter, she became your sister in Christ. She became your sister in Christ.
Yeah.
Rocky is a senior at Spelman College. She desires to be a lawyer. And she has, and she also desires to find somebody at Spelman before she leaves in the next month that she can leave there as a disciple as she goes on.
You know, what's really beautiful about that story, Rocky came to church with her ex-boyfriend. Her ex-boyfriend was my former student.
Yep.
So when I was, he was in class with me last fall, and I reached out to him, and, you know, he said, I'm not about that, Doc. I'm not about church thing. But he was about volunteering.
Yes.
So what we did, we got him involved in some volunteer initiatives, and Nick and I started this nonprofit, Peacemakers, and we said, you can be an ambassador for Peacemakers.
Oh.
So you will go out in the community, and what they did, a group of Morehouse guys started going to the elementary school to help kids catch up with reading.
Yep.
And he was committed.
Then
I said, you know what? I got somebody I want you to meet. Meet this guy named Jazz Vic. So he got to know Jazz Vic. I got somebody else. I just want you to meet him. Meet this guy named Angel Maldonado. I didn't tell him they were pastors. I said they're cool guys. Meet this guy named Angel Maldonado. And he got to know him, and he started hanging out at the church building with the preachers.
Yes.
And then he said, you know what? I'm going to bring somebody. And he brought her.
Yes.
And she was like, I love this.
Yep.
Now pray for Cam. Cam disappeared on us for about 6 weeks, but he yes. showed up to the baptism, which is a good
yes.
thing. And we're hoping that he will see the light. But what I'm saying is, Paul, did you stay in the fight?
Yes, sir. So, you know, it's been 15 years, and there's nothing that inspires me more than really just meeting people and sharing my life and what? The gospel as well. And so one thing I wanted to share is that there is a brother in the church who had multiple operations, an older gentleman. And he comes out to church every Sunday on time. And he is an inspiration to me just to be able to see that nothing is going to stop him from coming out. Nothing's going to stop him from encouraging other people. And so what about me? What am I going to do? And so he's an inspiration and so many other people as well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's this congregation as well, you know? That you guys are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and we're in the fight together.
Yeah.
We're on the battlefield together. Yes. We're putting on our boots and we're going in the trenches.
That's right.
And that's what it's all about.
That's right.
No matter what we've gone through yesterday, today's a new day.
Amen.
And we have another opportunity to say, you know what? Here I am, Father. Use me.
Amen.
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 Amen. So you have it.
I think you've said it.
Yeah, I mean, 35 years in the faith. There was a time when I walked away due to a failed marriage and the death of a parent. And I was in a tailspin of emotions and hurt. But I kept one thing. I kept praying to God, kept praying to return. It's insanity when you walk away, to be honest with you, because you can try to live your best life, but you know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
you know the truth. And so when I was restored, a guy named Les Johnson.
Yeah.
He said to me, he said, listen, you need to come in on fire for God.
Oh.
You don't need to be lukewarm because God will spit you out of your mouth.
Okay.
That's what he said to me.
That's Les.
That's what he said.
That was Les.
And every day that I think of not giving all, I think of Les. I think of the words of the scriptures that he shared with me. And let me tell you, there's no reason to not be on fire for God, because God blesses us. Even if we wake up one day at our worst, he still blesses us.
Come on.
I'm just grateful. I want to express that again to all of you, because we don't really know if you really, really know how much you have done for us. And your support of us at the PATH through the last past couple of years has helped this. I mean, Paul is a newly appointed elder as well. So the two newly appointed elders, staff people raising up, you have no idea what you've done. And we don't even know how to express it to you, so you can really know it. But we're just so grateful that for the love and the support, the kindness, and for being there for us when we were at our lowest places. You were there for us, so I just want to say that.
Yeah, I respect Roland and Paul, because during a pandemic where so many people got inward focused, they made a decision to keep growing. And we had virtual meetings, we had virtual trainings, and it's like, guys, their needs. Are you willing to meet the needs? And we were so encouraged to, like my wife shared, appoint them as elders, and what I love about it, they were already doing the work. They were already doing the work. Not one person came up to me and asked, well, why them? Because they knew they were already doing the work. Brothers and sisters, you quoted Les Johnson. I'm a quoting too. Les told me he had been in the ministry 40 years as a preacher. He said, listen, there are many starts and stops. And you keep starting over again. I'm like, Les, hold on. He said, yeah, man, I can tell you stories. We just had to keep starting over. And we kept starting over. Now, personally, I want to just ride this wave on to heaven. I really don't want to start over. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. But as my wife said, I have decided to follow Jesus. I said it a long time ago. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Amen.